Psalm 112, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And with regard to the blessed man, I want to consider the subject of living in the fear of the Lord. For that's how the blessed man here lived. Now, practically the whole psalm is taken up with the blessed man. But we want to concern ourselves this evening with the words of that first verse. Now, in recent weeks, we have been considering some of the experiences of the blessed man, as we have seen him in the book of Psalms. We have looked at some of the things which brought him into this state of blessedness. And now here in this Psalm 112, we see how he expresses this blessedness which he has experienced. Remember again what the word blessed means, as applied to this individual in the Psalms. It may be rendered, oh, the blessednesses. So we find that the man is blessed over and over and over again. He doesn't just experience one blessing in his life, but he's blessed time and time and time again. Some people talk about getting the second blessing. Well, this man in the book of Psalms got more than the second blessing. He got the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and hundreds of blessings. Oh, the blessednesses of this man, or oh, the happiness of the man. So how does he express this great happiness? How does he express the blessedness which he has experienced? Well, we see how the psalm begins. Praise ye the Lord. That's how Psalm 111 begins. That's how Psalm 113 begins. Praise ye the Lord. We often refer to what we find in the margin of our Bibles. And you'll find in the margin there, praise ye the Lord is simply the word hallelujah. And so here is the blessed man. And he expresses his happiness or his blessedness of soul by crying hallelujah. He is so happy, so blessed in his soul that he says hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. It's perfectly justified, of course, in giving praise to the Lord, because the Lord is the source of his blessedness. The Lord is the source of his happiness. The Lord is the fountainhead from which all blessings flow. Don't we often sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow? Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And dear Christian, every blessing that we have experienced and every blessing we ever will experience comes from the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And if you and I know anything of the blessed man's life, then it is our duty, yea, I would believe that it is our delight, to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And the Lord has said in Psalm 50 and verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Let us remember that when we sing our psalms and when we sing our hymns, we are glorifying God. It is a way of glorifying the Lord. And let us glorify the Lord our God and be like the Levites in David's day, of whom it is said, 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 30, it is said of the Levites that they stand they stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. And so they praise the Lord at the beginning of the day. That's how they begin their day. They begin their day by praising the Lord. They end their day by praising the Lord. But David himself extended his praise even beyond that. Psalm 119, verse 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. 7 times a day. We read about the Levites. They praised the Lord at the beginning and at the close of the day. David praised the Lord 7 times a day. How many times in the day do we praise the Lord? Is it not true that we're so taken up with the affairs of life that we forget? We neglect, we overlook this matter of praise. We forget to praise the Lord. So the Levites praised the Lord at the beginning and at the close of the day. David said that 7 times a day he praised the Lord. In fact, the life of the psalmist was one of continuous praise. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Difficult to fulfill that, isn't it? Difficult to bless the Lord at all times. And things aren't or don't seem to be going too well for us. Hard to bless the Lord. It's hard to rejoice in the Lord when the crops fail. No fruit on the trees. No calves in the stall. And the sun isn't shining. Hard to bless the Lord. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And this is the way of the blessed man. Here the blessed man in Psalm 112 begins by saying, praise ye the Lord. And the apostle Paul exhorts the believers to engage in this service of praising the Lord. For he said in Hebrews 13 verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That would not be a good model tax for us for each day that we live. Would that be good if we were to engage in the service that the Levites were involved in, praising the Lord at the beginning and at the close of the day? And as Paul said, by Him, by Christ, because it is only through Christ that our praise will be accepted. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. For that is the life of the blessed man. Oh, may it be our life. May our life be one of praise and giving thanks to our God. So why is this blessed man so ready to say, praise ye the Lord? Why was he so ready to shout hallelujah? Why? Because he's a blessed man, that's why. He's been blessed. Blessed over and over again. God has multiplied the blessings upon him. No wonder he shouted hallelujah. Let's take a closer look. Verse says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. There you have the blessed man and his reverence for the Lord. It is a wise man that fears the Lord. Look at the last verse of the previous psalm. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it's a wise man that fears the Lord. And here in our text, the word fear means reverence. And according to our text, blessed is the man that feareth or will reverence the Lord. We have here, first of all, a fact. Here's a fact. The psalmist states a fact. And the fact is, blessed is the man that fears the Lord. And that's a fact. If we fear the Lord will bless us. If we reverence the Lord will bless us. God will bless the soul that fears Him. This is not a theory. It's not mere speculation. There's no doubt about it, but rather it is a fact. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. The Lord reminded David of this, if you turn please to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And there we read in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And if a man rules in the fear of God, what will be his portion? How will he be blessed? Verse 4 says, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds. Is the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. That was the Lord's way of describing the blessing that would be poured out upon the man who feared the Lord. Turn over to Psalm 72. We have a parallel. passage here in Psalm 72 and verse 5. Verse 5, Psalm 72, "They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace along as the moon endureth." All those blessings shall come down upon the man that fears the Lord. That's a fact. The Lord will come down in blessing upon one who rules in the fear of God. Not only upon the ruler, but upon the people and upon the nation. My believer, how very different things would be in Canada if men in authority ruled in the fear of God. How very different it would be if the judges of our court system in this country ruled and came down with their judgment and did so in the fear of God. Then, and while the country has been blessed, and we must acknowledge that, but oh, how much more would God bless this land and this nation? We would be a blessed people indeed. God would come down like showers upon the mown grass. God would bless this nation. It's a fact. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Look at Psalm 31 and verse 19. Verse 19, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." See? God has great blessing in store for all who will fear God, for all who will reverence His holy name. Psalm 34 and verse 9, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him." There's the fact. There is no want to them that fear Him. God will supply the need of those who fear Him, who hallow and reverence His name. And so that we have there in that psalm a fact. And then we must look at this fear. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. It has been pointed out to us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But what of those who do not fear the Lord? Turn to the book of Proverbs. There in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs, we read in verse 29, "For that they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproofs. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Their outlook doesn't look too prosperous, does it? Those who do not fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That man is wise who fears God. And here we see in these words in Proverbs the absence of fear in the sinner. Fear that is spoken of with reference to the sinner is a different fear than the one in our text. Why, we do not expect the ungodly to fear or reverence the Lord. It's not in their nature. Because they're rebels against God. They will not reverence His holy name. But then neither are the ungodly afraid of God. Oh, they ought to be. But the ungodly do not fear God. They're not afraid of God. Therefore, they sin with a high hand. They sin. And they get deeper into sin. And they fear not God, nor His wrath, nor His judgment. My, if sinners were afraid of God, they wouldn't be able to sleep in their beds at night. They wouldn't be able to sleep at night. They were afraid of God. Over in the book of Genesis, there in chapter 20, Abraham speaking about when he went down into Egypt. And in Genesis 20, and there in verse 11, and Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. You see, Abraham is aware that whenever the sinner does not fear God and is not afraid of God, then there's no telling what the sinner will do. And Abraham said, because the fear of God is not in this place, they're liable to take my life and take my wife, because the fear of God is not here. There is no restraint. And where there is no fear of God, there is no telling what depraved nature will do. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 3. There Paul tells us something about what depraved nature will get up to, or get down to, if you like, because they fear not God. Well known passage of Scripture, verse 10, Romans 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. There's man's depraved nature. What do? They are all gone out of the way. All we like sheep have gone astray. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Not one. And any good that depraved man thinks he is doing is not acceptable in God's sight, because it's already stained by sin. None that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. My, when you hear the news, listen to the news and hear about the deeds that man has committed. Those very words not come into your heart and into your mind? Have you not said, when you've heard about these awful deeds, is there no fear of God before their eyes? The sinner does not fear God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We mentioned that word fear this morning when Herod feared John. And we said the word in the Greek is the word phobos. Herod had a fear of John. He was terrified. But this fear is absent from the heart of man. While Herod may have feared John, yet evidently Herod did not fear God because he took John's life. And the sinner, because there is no fear of God, there's no telling what he'll get up to. Because there is no fear, then he delves into unrestrained wickedness. And believer, when you look around this world today, there is unrestrained wickedness. And why? Because there's no fear of God before the eyes of men. You take the example of that wicked sin of abortion. And you think of the millions and millions of babies that had been slaughtered. It grieves you just thinking about it. And I often think of those individuals who perform abortions, and I think if they do not repent, what will their hell be like? What will their eternity be like? Do they not fear God? Evidently not. For they have murdered children. Defenseless children. They have slaughtered defenseless children by the thousands. They have the blood of thousands of children upon their hands. Why? Because there's no fear of God before their eyes. And one day they'll stand before God. And they'll stand before God with the blood of thousands of children upon their hands, and they're destined for the lowest hell. Murdered children, and how awful their hell will be. Because they'll hear the cry of every child they murdered. To hear the cries of those children for all eternity. And their hell, the two hells. Why do they carry out these evil deeds? Because there's no fear of God. They ought to be terrified. Because one day, stand before them, they're going to meet God someday. Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. The word terror is the same word fear. Phobos, knowing the terror of the Lord, Paul said, we persuade men. You see, the Christian knows all about the terror of the Lord. The Christian knows what is awaiting the sinner. And Paul says here, knowing the terror of the Lord, seek to persuade men. Persuade them to get right with God. Old men today only knew what was awaiting them. They wouldn't sleep in their beds at night. There is the absence of fear in the sinner, but then there is the adornment of fear in the saint. The blessed man's life is adorned with a fear, a reverence of the Lord. I'm going to turn to Jeremiah. Now, if the sinner has no fear of God before his eyes, something must have taken place to cause the blessed man, or to cause a man or a woman, to fear God, to reverence the Lord. Art, in one way, that they may fear me forever. For the good of them and of their children after them, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear. This time the word fear is the word reverence that we have in Psalm 112. I will put my fear in their heart, that they shall not depart from me. Child of God is adorned with the fear of God. You and I fear God tonight. We reverence the Lord. The Lord told his disciples, when ye pray, pray our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're to fear, hallow, reverence the name of God. And that great change was wrought by the Lord. A work of grace was wrought in our hearts. For the child of God, for the blessed man, that fear of God, that reverence for the Lord will permeate the believer's life. Everything that he or she does will be done in the fear of God. Our work, it will be evidenced in our work for the Lord. Psalm 2, verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. It will be seen in our worship of the Lord. That's what we should always keep in mind, that we are to reverence the Lord when we come into his house to worship him. For Psalm 5 verse 7 says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. In thy fear shall I worship. I worship the Lord with reverence. It will be seen in our walk with the Lord.
We noted that in the life of John this morning. He did no miracle. Wasn't miracle working power of John that impressed Herod. It was his life. John lived in the fear of God. That's what impressed Herod. Herod said that he knew he was a just man and a holy man. He lived in the fear of God. He walked in the fear of God. Job 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That's how he lived. He feared God. Because he feared God, he did not walk in sin. He did not walk towards sin. He eschewed evil. He avoided sin. He walked away from sin. And Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. See? When a man fears God, when a man hallows the name of God, he will seek to live that holy life. He will hate evil. He will turn his back. He will eschew evil. Proverbs 16 verse 6 says, by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. This reverence will also be seen in our witness for the Lord. When Nehemiah went up to Jerusalem to help repair the wall, there were many things that Nehemiah had to put right. And there were those in the city who were carrying on with their business. And they were lending out money, but they were charging exorbitant interest rates. And the people couldn't pay it, and they were crying out. And we read in Nehemiah chapter 5 that this was something that did not please Nehemiah at all. In Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 9, also I said, it is not good. Spoke to these businessmen. He said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God, because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? Ought ye not to walk in the fear of God? Do you not know you're going to have to answer to God for this behavior and the way you're conducting your business? Do you not know we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ? You ought to be conducting your business in the fear of God. You go on down the chapter in Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 15. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I. Why? Because of the fear of God. Nehemiah was honest and upright in his dealings with the people because of the fear of God. We ought to live, believer, each day in the fear of God. Businessmen in Jerusalem did not have a good witness among the heathen because
because they did not conduct their affairs in the fear of God. That's how we should live. That's how we should live. A few weeks ago, our good brother, the Reverend Irvin, and his wife had been out somewhere, shopping or wherever, and parked the car. When they returned to the car, Mr. Irwin noticed that one of the doors was bashed in. They noticed also there was a note on the windshield. And on that note was the name, address of an individual, and a telephone number. So he phoned the number. Of course, it was the telephone number of the person who had driven into his car. Turned out the lady was a Christian. And she could have driven away after hitting Mr. Irwin's car. Mr. Irwin wouldn't have known who did it. But the woman knew that the Lord would know all about it. And so she couldn't drive away. She lived in the fear of God. She knew she would have to answer to the Lord for that. And so she very kindly left her name and address and phone number, told Mr. Irwin she would pay for it. It's a testimony, isn't it? In fact, she came to this church the following week. But that's a good testimony. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. The Lord will bless that woman for that. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. So you have there a fact. You have a fear. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. There you have a fountain. The fountain of blessing. Proverbs 14, verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It's a fountain of blessing. Blessings flow from our fearing the Lord. If we do not live our lives or conduct ourselves in the fear of the Lord, then we're going to miss out on the blessing of God. And that is what every child of God desires, is it not? How often do we pray, "Lord, bless me. Bless my heart. Bless my home. Bless my family. Bless my church." That's what we long for. That's what we want, is the blessing of God. And the fear of the Lord is a fountain. So the blessing flows from our fearing the Lord. From that work of grace that was wrought in us. You remember what we read there in Jeremiah 32 and verse 39, "And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them. And all their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will put my fear in their hearts, because I want to do them good." See, it's a fountain of blessing. It is a fountain of blessing. There is no fear of God in the heart of the natural man. It must be put there by the Lord. We need to be taught also to fear the Lord. We do. We need to be taught to fear the Lord. Because again in Psalm 34, We read there in Psalm 34 and verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you fear of the Lord. There are believers today who need to be taught about the fear of the Lord, how they are to conduct themselves before Him, how they are to live before Him in the fear of the Lord, how they are to worship Him. Worship Him in a reverent way, in a way that glorifies the Lord. Psalm 34 and verse 9 says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. It's a fountain of blessing. Fear the Lord, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Our time is gone. Did you look there in that Psalm 112 and verse 1 again? Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. So the fear of the Lord and the Word of God go together. Is not where we began. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's blessing through living, walking, and serving in the fear of God. And there's blessing for us when we delight in the Word of God. You see here that the blessed man gets pleasure from the Word. We're told that the blessed man delighteth greatly, greatly in his commandments. In the Hebrew, the word delighteth is emphatical. He delighteth. Yea, he greatly delighteth in the word of the Lord, in the commandments of the Lord. It means to take his pleasure. He gets great pleasure from reading, studying, meditating upon the word. It shows us that he loves the Word of God. Do we love the Word of, really love the Word of God? So the psalmist said in Psalm 119, there in verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. I delight in thy commandments, which I have loved. He loves God's word. He delights to learn from God's word. Psalm 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. They teach me. They are my counselors. The blessed man delighteth greatly in living by the word. Psalm 119 again in verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. The blessed man walks, works, lives, worships in the fear of God, and his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law they meditate day and night. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth He delights to walk in the ways of God. Like Christ. Psalm 40, verse 8. The Messianic Psalm. Psalm about Christ. And verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. Delight, same word again. You have there not only his, he gets pleasure from the word, but he gives prominence to the word. The blessed man fears the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. All in the one verse. His fear and his love for the word. The word of God is prominent. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver, the psalmist says. That's how prominent it was in his life. Way beyond the silver and gold. Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's the prominence of the word in Job's life. It would hold that prominent place in our life. For it ought to be the book we read most. It ought to be the book we're most familiar with. It ought to be the book that we would read before any other. He gets pleasure from the word, he gives prominence to the word, and he gains much profit from the word. Profit, he's blessed. That's what he gains from the word, he's blessed. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly, in his commandments. The Lord make us that blessed man. Let's bow in prayer. Most loving and gracious Father, we praise and thank thee for the study of thy word. O Lord, how often we have gone to the word, and Lord, we have profited from it. Lord, if we go to the word with a heart that's ready, made ready by the Spirit of God, a heart that is open to receive its instruction, then Lord, we will profit much from the word. We need to hear it, we need to read it, we need to meditate upon it, if we are to profit from it. Lord, give us the life of the blessed man. May we live the life of the blessed man, live each day in the fear of God, knowing that his eye is ever upon the righteous, and his ear is ever open unto their cry. Lord, bless the word, we pray. May we meditate upon it tonight. Loving Father, be with us as we leave this place of worship. Take us to our homes in safety. And return us, Lord, this week to seek thy face in prayer. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.